Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
This is Our Shepherd's View. Good morning and welcome. Jesse DeLeon here along with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the Epiphany of our Lord this Sunday. Bishop, how are you doing this morning?
Very well. How are you?
Glad to see you.
Yes,
we made it into the new year.
Here we are.
Here we are as we listen to the Gospel of Matthew this morning, and we'll let you share that with us now.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written through the prophet, 'You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country in another way." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of things jump out at me right away. Of course, we always wonder about those gifts that are brought by the Magi, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and each one has a significance as it is presented. It's not just something that is a random group of gifts that these wise men brought. They all have a specific meaning to the life that Jesus would lead here on earth.
Yes, you're right, Jesse. First of all, the gold is proclaiming Christ's kingship, his royal dignity as, first of all, as God, but also his dignity as Son of God here among us in his kingship. The incense is to adore the Godhead. So even during Mass, we use incense at our time of worship to offer God the worship that he is due. And so the incense signifies the Godhead of Jesus and the worship that we are doing. And the myrrh is also to acknowledge his mortality.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is claimed also by Saint Odilio of Cluny. Many of the scriptures were commented upon by fathers of the church and others throughout the centuries, and so in that he recognizes the myrrh as a sign of Jesus' mortality.
Mm-hmm.
He's also man. So it's the beauty of the kingship of the Lord Jesus, all things were created through him and for him, as Saint Paul says, but also his divinity and also his mortality.
Mm-hmm.
So all that's recognized in these simple gifts that the Magi brought with them and placed before him in the manger, acknowledging these truths that over the time we have developed and come to understand better.
So they celebrate him and they offer those gifts, but also those gifts have a sense of foretelling as to what Jesus will undertake when he spends his time here on earth and goes about his mission.
Yes, they're very prophetic. They're quite prophetic. And even another father of the church, St. Gregory the Great, spoke of creation responding. So the star is all things, all creation is created by Jesus, through Jesus, by God through Jesus. And so the star is part of that creation. And so St. Gregory recognized that it's not just some astrological occurrence, but that even the heavens responded to the recognition of the child born in Bethlehem. And even later on, the crucifixion of Jesus, the earth shook. Mm-hmm. So even earth was subject to Jesus and recognized this event. And throughout Scripture, you find these signs in creation, because creation belonged to Christ as well.
And that shows that powerful connection between him and the creation, as you say. They respond in celebration at his birth, and then at the crucifixion, the earth shakes, and it is somewhat more, obviously more dramatic. But it brings us to that point of recognizing that even the earth stands still in the wake of what was happening to him.
It should awaken something in us, and I think so many people say, and rightfully so. And I can remember in my own life moments on retreat or other times of just being in a part of the country or even here in Texas without lights all over the place.
Right.
You see the beauty of the sky, and certainly it reminds us of so much, but it should go even deeper, that all of that is created by God. It doesn't just remind us of God, but that all of that is created through him and for him, for Jesus Christ. And especially this Christmas time, to recognize that all creation was created through him and for him. And that is the place that Jesus has in our lives. Everything belongs to him.
Amen.
So I also wanted to point out, too, the something that we don't recognize or speak of too often with the Epiphany, and that's the act of worship. They did him homage. They knelt in front of him. They brought him the gifts. But that's important to recognize, especially today, when people are searching. And I know that they're searching. You know they're searching. Maybe they themselves, whoever is searching, we're all searching. But we should recognize that because we are created in that image and likeness of God, because it is through Christ that we are created and for him that we are searching. And I don't care who we are, we are. I won't reveal anything, was with someone not too long ago, and person happened into Mass just by chance, but nothing's by chance. And he said for some reason he was drawn in there and discovered that he was looking. It was like almost like that star led him into that place with other people there. And since I couldn't stay there and wait, I brought over a couple of people that I knew, and I said, this gentleman is searching. Of course, they took him under their wings, and this is what our parish is about.
Right.
You know, not to just say hello and goodbye, but there's somebody in our congregation that's searching, that magi that's in our midst, that's coming, and we hopefully could recognize the people, a person who is searching, and to accompany them. That's what we talk about, accompaniment.
Right.
That walk with them. It was just a beautiful thing, because I could not stay where I was for many reasons, but these other two parishioners said, yes, we'll walk with you, and they'd set up an appointment, and anytime that you need us, here's here's how you get a hold of us. And it was just an amazing thing, but that's that magi. And I thought the gift for this Christmas, that kind of event happened, that this young man was searching, and he happened upon, you might say, he happened upon the Bethlehem scene. We were saying Mass with the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist and in his word. The community was there. We were singing songs of Advent, and he just happened to be there. And he said, when I saw that, there was something here that I wanted to embrace.
And connect with. That's beautiful.
We have to realize it's not just that the Magi represent something. Yes, they do. But they represent people who are looking and searching. And we are the Bethlehem. We are the manger scene throughout the year, not just on Christmas, but throughout the year we're here. And if we are living our life as Christians, we're open to receive, as Mary and Joseph received the Magi into the manger, to see Jesus and to help these Magi.
And that is something that we, as you said, should remember throughout the year, not just around Christmas time. Another thing that struck me as well on this is the last line, home by another way. They're warned in a dream, and they still go back to where they're going, but making that step of saying, I'll get to where I need to go, but based on what I was told and based what I believe, I'll get there, but I'll make adjustments, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think that's powerful. You could use it another way, that by comparison, they probably could sense in mm-hmm. Herod's voice or what
demeanor, maybe.
Seat, right. Come and tell me about it, and they could probably sense he was not wanting to go and do homage himself.
Right.
And so they were willing, through their own conversion, through their own finding mm-hmm. of the child Jesus, to avoid him and go another way.
Right. Right. I think that's always stayed very significant to me. That's always remained very significant from this scripture passage, because I think that it still says we're going to stay true to where we are from, we'll return, but yet we are flexible enough to be able to make adjustments and
exactly.
to be able to still be true to what we've seen.
You know, they saw the false desires of Herod.
Right.
They found the truth in the child. And mm-hmm. so there's so much in the scriptures, if we just spend a little time with our imagination and understanding what's there, we have so much beauty in front of us to understand.
And even a line like that can take us into a place where we can reflect and say, okay, I think that how many times can I go home by another way and still make it to where I need to go?
Yeah, and that's what a conversion is.
Right, exactly.
There's a line I saw from, I think, one of the popes said, immobility mm-hmm. is a sign of a lack of conversion. So if we're immobile, in other words, we just follow the way we always do things, mm-hmm. We're not a person being converted.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to change. We have to change in the sense that we find more.
It requires us to take that action as well,
right.
And stepping out in faith. That's a beautiful way to reflect on this week's gospel. We thank you for that, Bishop. As we prepare to hear the word of life, we will do that in our next segment right here on Our Shepherd's View as it continues after the break. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. We are here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the Epiphany of our Lord here on this Sunday as we prepare to listen to the Word of Life for January.
Yes, and just a reminder that every January, the Word of Life is chosen from the same theme from the week of Prayer for Christian Unity,
mm-hmm.
which we will also celebrate this month as we did last year. So you can find the time and the place on our website as soon as it's available.
Mm-hmm.
So the word of life for January, learn to do good, seek justice, from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. The word of life for the month of January is taken from the first chapter of the prophet Isaiah. This passage was chosen for the week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which is celebrated throughout the Northern Hemisphere, January 18th to the 25th. The texts were prepared by a group of Christians from Minnesota, where in May 2020, George Floyd, an African-American man, was murdered by a police officer in Minneapolis. The subject of justice is a hot topic. Inequality, violence, and prejudice worsen within a society that struggles to witness to a culture of peace and unity. Isaiah's times were not so different from ours. Wars, rebellions, and pursuit of wealth, power, idolatry, and the marginalization of the poor had led the people of Israel astray. The prophet uses harsh words to call his people back to a path of conversion, and he points the way to a return to the original spirit of the covenant of God made with Abraham. Learn to do good, seek justice. What does it mean to learn to do good? It means that we need to be open to the idea of learning, and that requires effort on our part. Each day, there is always something to understand or something to improve. We can always start again if we have made a mistake. What does it mean to seek justice? This is a treasure that we should yearn and search for as a goal of our actions. Practicing justice helps us learn to do good because it means we better understand the will of God, which is our good. Isaiah offers concrete examples. The people most preferred by God were the helpless, the oppressed, the orphans, and widows, because they are the most defenseless. God invites his people to take practical care of them, especially those who are unable to assert their rights. Religious practices, rites, and sacrifices and prayers are not pleasing to him if they are not matched by the pursuit and practice of goodness and justice. Learn to do good, seek justice. This word of life urges us to support others, to have a watchful eye and practically help those in need. Our journey of conversion requires us to open our hearts, minds, and arms to others, especially toward those who suffer. The desire and the search for justice have always been inscribed in the human conscience, wrote Focolare founder Kara Lubick in a gospel commentary in November of 2006. Quote, God himself put them in our hearts. But despite the conquest and progress made throughout history, how distant are we from fulfilling God's plan? The wars that still are being fought today, as well as terrorism and ethnic conflict, are the signs of social and economic inequalities, injustice, hatred. Without love and respect for the individual and attention to his or her situation, personal relationships may be correct, but they can also become bureaucratic and incapable of providing decisive answers to human requirements. Without love, there will never be true justice. Goods will never be shared between the rich and the poor, and there will never be attention to the life and specific needs of each man and woman. Learn to do good, seek justice. To live for a united world means taking the wounds of humanity upon ourselves and carrying out small gestures that can help build up the human family. One day, a young man from Argentina bumped into the headmaster of the institute where he had taught. The headmaster had used an excuse to force him to leave his job. When the headmaster recognized him, he tried to move away, but the young man went towards him. He asked him for his news, and the headmaster told him about his difficulties, that he lived in another city and was looking for work. The young man offered to help him, and the next day he spread the news among his acquaintances that he was looking for a job for someone. The response was not long in coming. When the headmaster received the news of an offer of a new job, he could hardly believe his ears. He accepted the job, deeply grateful and moved that the very person he had once fired had taken a real interest in him. This young man received the hundredfold because at the same time he was offered two jobs that he had always wanted since he started university. He too was amazed and touched by this practical love of God.
Powerful images there about justice and how things work and taking action again. And one of the things that struck me earlier in the reflection there is if we make a mistake, let's keep trying, we keep going. And I think a lot of people tend to, especially with the new year and resolutions, if you fall away from what you're trying to do, you tend to say, well, I'm not going to go back and try and do that. I think this kind of affirms the commitment that we make to whatever it might be, whether it's seeking justice or helping improve ourselves, improving our health, or whatever it is, to get back on the track, even if we do maybe have a bit of a sidetrack on the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing about faith, you know. This young man had faith that he didn't know. It was kind of a prophetic faith, but he knew that he had to do good, to seek justice, and to do good. And that even meant with the person that had offended him, that fired him from a job unjustly. Right. You know, it's so often, Jesse, that things happen to all of us. And we can build up a case against a person or an event, and it can mark our life so much that justice and seeking good are gone. Mm-hmm. And that's the very meaning of our life. That's at the core of our being. And so, for example, if someone at work or someone in the family or a political system, something hurts me or I feel offended, and I block myself I've lost hope.
Right.
I think this young man, that's why these examples that are given with the Word of Life every month are so important to see in one person's situation. I mean, these are not made up examples. Mm-hmm. True.
Right.
In fact, I used the word young man, but it had the initial of the person.
Right, right.
To protect them, but to continue reaching out, to continue believing, to continue hoping, to continue loving, even our enemy. And this is why Jesus gave that command to even love your enemy. Mm-hmm. How many times must I forgive? That's seeking justice. We're a people who want, if we're going to do something, we want a reward. Mm-hmm. And we want to manage that reward. Right. We want to see it happen now. And even one act of forgiveness, if I'm not forgiven right back or if I'm not rewarded right back, then I give up. No, this is not life. This is not the Christian life. Not the Christian life. And I know many people listening and myself, I mean, we've all been hurt. Mm-hmm. We've all been offended. But at that moment, when we stop and say, because of that, I won't move forward in there, toward that person or toward any situation, I give up. And that is the worst thing. That's the most detrimental thing to a life of faith. Never give up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can use St. Monica with St. Augustine. She never gave up. Mm-hmm. For 33 years, she prayed for that man, her son, who became one of the greatest doctors of the church, the most profound writer in the history of Christianity. She never gave up. She prayed for him. Mm-hmm. And in the situation that I've had recently, too, you know, 5 years of really difficult relations, and somebody else praying with me for the resolve of that situation, and it happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that this is what marks our Christian life. And so that's when Jesus says, I don't accept sacrifices and all these kind of things that you do. Mm-hmm. They're necessary that we go to church, that we pray. Mm-hmm. But if in reality I cannot act justly and seek goodness, as we're talking about, then those gifts that we offer, in other words, our time of prayer and sacrifice, whatever, means nothing. Mm-hmm. The scriptures say that God says, I reject that. Mm-hmm. We have to do that because when we do pray, when we do sacrifice, or in our sense going to Mass and praying, it brings our heart in line with God's will and in lines with what God wants of me, which is to seek justice, to do good in every situation. But without prayer, without connecting to the sacrifice of God in the Eucharist, I can't do it.
We're all built for it, like it said in the reflection. We all have that. We're given that. But doing what you're saying opens that channel up a whole lot more to where we can really experience that wholeheartedly and have that experience that we take to others, and they can see that it's genuine. It's not just something that we're doing, like you say, because we want something back or we expect to be forgiven away.
Because that's self-serving.
Right,
we're here
to
serve God, not ourselves.
Exactly.
And we serve God by serving others. And that's the simple truth, that's the simple fact, and that's Christian life.
And that takes us to the end of our program this morning, Bishop. But we thank you for sharing that Word of Life. And if you'd like to close the program with a few thoughts or words to...
Just use the prayer for the Feast of Epiphany.
All right. We'll hear that.
O God, who on this day revealed your only begotten Son to the nations by the guidance of a star, grant in your mercy that we, who know you already by faith, may be brought to behold the beauty of your sublime glory, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
May everyone have a blessed day, and as we continue to begin the new year, may everyone have a blessed new year. And also let's say a prayer for Christian unity as this Word of Life reflects the theme of that the week that we will have in a couple of weeks for Christian unity.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.